Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil! Arsenal are walking in a winter wonderland! What a turnaround! He's come up with it! The scorpion touch! Olivier Giroud! When you saw Mkhitaryan do it, you say we'd never see it again!
We won away! We won away! Weather Arsenal and we won away. Hi, we won away from home, and it's really, really good. Good result for Arsenal, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, right? I actually did record that song like an hour before the game started, and I'm not sure I would have recorded it now post the game if I didn't do it at the time, because my emotions at the time and now is pretty much different. And it's kind of odd considering the fact that we actually did win away from home and then we kept the clean sheet. Basically, everything we've been asking this team to do for a long time, they finally did it. And then we get it, and then we're not as appreciative as we really should be. Maybe because we hold the team to a higher standard, or we rate performance more than results, or we want performance and results. It's somewhere in the middle somewhere. It really sucks that we waited so long for a particular thing to happen and we cannot really enjoy it. To me, it's like I like food, right? So it's like you travel for a long time and then you're dreaming of this particular restaurant where you go to have this amazing meal, and then you get there, you're back, your favorite person who serves you isn't there, so that's sort of a downer. And then anyways, you still are going to enjoy the meal, so you order it and you go and sit down, and then somebody just comes and sits opposite you, person has ordered like beans and okra, some terrible combination of a meal, and you're like, what, how to do that? That aside, am I the only one who has a problem when they're like other spaces in like a restaurant and then you just come sit directly opposite me, like find an empty table? Okay, let's go back to what I was talking about. So the person comes and does that, and then maybe somebody comes next to you and farts, and then the lights go off in the restaurant, lights come back on, the AC isn't working. Like, so many things just go wrong, depriving you from the fact that you're supposed to be enjoying the meal you've dreamt so many months for, that kind of thing. That's sort of the kind of experience I have with Arsenal tonight. But to be honest, I really, really, like I tweeted during the game, I really, really appreciate the fact that we won. In a few months, if we get into the Champions League and we qualify through the league, nobody's going to remember this night. What we're going to remember is the 3 points that we got tonight that took us closer to where we really wanted to be, and then we got it. So let's just find a way to wrap up the game in your head somehow and just dump it, take the 3 points, and then run away with it, basically. So just to the game itself, Unai Emery went to the back four, and you can actually understand why he did that to an extent, because Socrates was out, which meant that I was surprised, because he could have actually just done Mustafi, Kulshani, and Nacho Monreal as a back three, but obviously he went to the back four, and that meant Dinos Mavropanos joined the team. He's a player that most of us like. We have fond memories of him. I think Arsenal is one club that really, really likes. Our fans are really receptive to young players, so we kind of have an emotional connection to them, helped by Arsene Wenger and all the years of bleeding them there. So he came in today, but I don't think he did himself much good. I think he was really shaky throughout the game. It showed that he hadn't played competitive football for a long time, and he's a much better player than what we saw tonight. And especially in defense, where it's not just your performance, it's in some parts of the pitch you can perform individually and you'll be brilliant in different aspects, like it will be worse tonight. But in defense, you can't be good on your own. You have to be good with your partner, and being good with your partner takes time. And I'm not sure that the few days that I've spent together trying to harness it and in training would have helped both Kulshani and Mustafi. You would see that Even once he left the pitch, there was more certainty around how Koscielny was playing, but we know he's going to come good. I think a loan away from Arsenal, having him play a couple of games would improve him, and I'm sure he will have a great Arsenal career going forward. But tonight wasn't just his day, and you also see that because we went to a back four, Unai Emery wasn't confident using. I'm not sure, to be honest, if it was because we went to a back four that he wasn't confident using Niles, Maitland-Niles, or the fact that he's reserving him for the game against Napoli, because that's something else you have to consider, the fact that the game against Napoli is away and it's so close to this game. Maybe some players are being rested for that game, not necessarily because of the reacting to the Socrates being injured. But Kolasinac obviously is a definite no for me in the back four, and even Niles too is not really great in that position. So you can basically understand why the manager went with the defense that he went with today. The game started, and then Napoli pressed us really, really early. Did I say Napoli? I'm already in the Napoli game frame of mind. Watford pressed us really early, and they almost forced Leno into an error early in the game. But it's strange that for all the defensive errors that our goalkeepers have made, especially Cech from passing to the back, we now got a goal from a goalkeeping error with the Watford keeper Ben Foster, I think, trying to pass off on the back, and Aubameyang being extremely, extremely hungry and very fast to get to that position and then grab the goal that got us the win on the day. So just after that, 73 seconds, I think the commentator said 73 seconds after that, Troy Deeney got a red card, which is one of the best things that can happen to anyone watching football, really. Someone tweeted at me during the game saying it was undeserved, to be honest. My personal opinion is Troy Deeney he deserves a red card for smiling, for walking, for being on the football pitch, for just being there. He deserves a red card. There's no red card that Troy Deeney gets in this life that's unjustified. He's one of those players that I completely, completely detest as a player and as a human being. I think he's despicable. I think he says a lot of things that he says about people, like what he said about the guy who wore the mask in the game, Watford Wolves, I think. He said made a comment about somebody who was actually celebrating a moment. And in the moment he scored, he wore a mask and he was celebrating, and then he's mocking him for doing that, like, who does that kind of thing, really? So whatever Troy Deeney gets, he deserves completely. I have absolutely no remorse, no apologies for that red card. He saw Torreira. It was unprovoked. That's the worst part. He's obviously, I see the commentators were trying to excuse it by the fact that Torreira is 5 feet and Troy Deeney was running, so his elbows. No, if you really, really watch it, his elbow was sort of in front of Torreira already, and then he brought it backwards to ensure that he struck the man. That's the way I see it. That's the way it is, really, to be honest. And he deserves it. I was so happy he got a red card. It gave me a lot of joy seeing him walk away from that pitch. And I'm really, really happy that happened to him. Because of him, I hope Watford loses the FA Cup final as well. He's just a crappy, crappy player. Anyways, Arsenal could not take advantage of the fact that we were one man up. And generally, I think it's an attribute. There's many things you associate with Arsenal, to be honest. Our struggles away from home is something you associate with us. The fact that we like to pass is something you associate with us. Something else you associate with us is our inability to take advantage of being a man up in games. I think it's not something that was unique to this game, generally because of the way we play, and particularly because the red card was given to an offensive player. It meant that defensively, Watford didn't really need to do a lot to change how they wanted to approach the game from a defensive perspective. It meant that nothing really changed in Arsenal from nothing really changed. They still had the numbers that they were going to use to defend against us, even if Troy Deeney was on the pitch. So the owners lay on us to take advantage of it. And because we perpetually just try to pass and try to pass and try to pass, it gives them a lot of rooms to form their defensive line, keep their shape, which they did excellently. And even they went further. They didn't just defend well, they attacked us better. They the hunger, the drive, the passion, they were first to every tackle, they were first to every drop ball. We were just less hungry. They showed the kind of passion that you'd expect that an Arsenal would show in a place like Everton when we're losing. It's what they showed. And to be honest, if I was a neutral watching the game, I would say that they deserve at least a point from that game. But it's Watford and they are Troy, so they can burn in hell for all I care. But it's just sad that we couldn't take advantage of that opportunity that we had to close the game. We're not a team that have shown that we can take advantage of that of instances like that, which is really disappointing. I think this season we've controlled a lot of games. Like the game against Newcastle at home, obviously is at home. That was a very controlled performance, and that's the kind of performance that you expect in a place like this when you're one goal up away from home. You're talking to yourselves and say, guys, keep the ball, be more incisive, be more decisive, let's take structured decisions, let's not allow them keep the ball and dominate play, let's force them into some more errors and things like that. But we were terrible, and the manager had to change something at halftime, which he did. He brought Ozil on to be able to find more players in offensive positions, but he took off Torreira. To be honest, recording this podcast, I have absolutely no idea why Torreira was the player that was taken off. I don't have an explanation for it. I think maybe he Torreira and Xhaka were the deep line players, and he wanted to take one out for a more attacking player in Ozil. Maybe that was the thinking, and I don't think it worked. Ozil wasn't effective as well. I think when he came on initially in the beginning of the half, he started attracting people to him, and Iwobi was seeing a lot more space on the left. Xhaka started finding Iwobi more. I don't know if that's any correlation to do with Ozil being on the pitch and drawing more players to the middle, but started finding Iwobi more. Iwobi became more incisive. He became more forceful on the left, even though his decision making when he gets into the box is a suspect. But I think he did great creating chances for Mkhitaryan, which he should have scored. He created another great chance for Ozil. Ozil didn't he backheeled, I think, and then he created another great chance for Aubameyang. So I think from a creative outlet, Iwobi did really good. It's when he has to take a decision on his own as to whether he needs to shoot or cut into the box is where he struggles. So he's a player where that 1 minute you love him, another minute he gives you cause for worry. And it's a position, positionally, I think it's where he plays is a position where Arsenal needs to strengthen. That doesn't mean he's not a player that should be at Arsenal, in my perspective. But I think we need a better player in that position that can score, that's more decisive, that can cross better and all that. But it will be the player that I think that we his characteristics are really, really positive. And if he finds some decision making when it comes to shooting, or when it comes to when to cross or when to cut in, he's going to be an awesome player. And that's my thought on him. The whole game basically just was us reacting, and that's another big problem that I see. We were in a game where we were one up, and we had one man more than the opposition team, but we were the ones reacting to the performance by the opposition team. I'm not sure I've seen that happen anywhere else. We brought in Guendouzi and then went to the three at the back. I think it lasted 5 minutes, and then we brought in Maitland-Niles and they went back to a four at the back. So it was a completely reactive performance, a performance that was designed to contain what Watford was offering, and then maybe get a break, which Aubameyang got, I think, twice in the game, but he couldn't finish it, which is really sad. But overall, was a really, really poor game, and we can't say any more about our away performances this season and probably last season as well. I can't find any particular reason why we're that poor. I absolutely can't find a reason. I'm sure there are smarter people out there who can decide it, but how a team can just completely alternate the how they play away from home and when they play at home, it just completely beats me. Complete. I don't think it's a. I've gone past thinking it was a personal issue. I've gone past thinking it was a setup issue. I just think it's a cloud hovering around that team when they just get into a bus or get into a train and they're going away from home. Their mentality just completely switches. It's strange because Watford is not a place that is particularly far from London, right? I checked the distances on Google and it's really close. So they didn't even have to travel that much, to be honest, and they still put up a performance like that. These are the kind of things that you expect that Unai Emery would have said. There's no way Unai Emery wouldn't have made this, analyzed it, and then made comments about this in the dressing room. But the players cannot just seem to implement whatever they're supposed to do on the pitch. You feel sorry a little for Unai Emery because this game was really, really close to the Napoli game away from home. So there are a couple of players. If it was a game that was played on a Saturday, most likely you would have seen players like maybe Lacazette and Ozil start. Instead of Mkhitaryan, who was another really poor player today, he was playing like someone who was suffering from some post-traumatic stress disorder from watching too much of the talk about sports stadium or something. He was terrible, and it's another player that we have to take a decision about in the summer for the amount he earns and for his age range as well. His inconsistency, it just gives a lot of cause for worry, to be honest. And today was a completely off day for him, and I hope that the manager can use the next few games to make a decision as to what to do with him going forward. Overall, it wasn't a good game, and but we won, so it's one of those days where you just take what you get. Take what life gives you, and then you run away with it because it doesn't happen often that we play this badly and we get points away from home. So let's just take it, enjoy it, and then run away. We play Napoli next, and I had the opportunity of speaking with Massimo again, the Napoli fan who spoke with us the last time. So he's coming on next. I had a quick conversation with him about how he saw the last game, and how he looks forward to what's going to happen in Naples. So I'm hanging just after the little break, we will have the conversation with Massimo. So we won away, we're Arsenal, and I hope we win away again. All right, see you guys in a bit. Don't go anywhere. Hi, Massimo. How are you?
I'm good, Simon. How are you?
Very well. I'm sure I'm much, much better than you are. We beat you guys 2-0.
Yeah, you're definitely better than we are right now.
Yeah, and it should have been more, to be honest. We had so many chances to make it a lot more than that. And so you guys should be grateful.
Yeah, definitely. The first half, y'all really worked us. So we were lucky to just go down
Yeah.
2-0.
How did you feel though? How did you feel? Okay, so you were on an Arsenal podcast basically. I'm sure that's like the first time. So when you're watching the game, like were you watching it with the perspective of, oh, I had a conversation with a few Arsenal fans and they listened to me talk and we really need to smash Arsenal because I said I was 80% sure what to do. So were you listening to it from that perspective as well?
Honestly, when I was watching it was probably one of the maddest. It's probably the maddest I've been in a while watching a Napoli game, and I knew as soon as I was like, "Dang!" I was like, "Man, on the podcast, I said we had a really good chance, and now we're getting smashed, and now the guys are gonna give me a hard time, and I have to see it all on Twitter." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness!" I had to prepare. I had to stay off Twitter for the rest of the day. I couldn't do it. It was too much for
No, but we were nice. We were pretty professional
Yes,
about it.
yes.
Yeah, so we didn't rub it in that much. Partly because we're afraid of going away, to be honest. Not because we really like it that much, or because we were that nice.
But if there's any team that's like really afraid of going away from home, is Arsenal. So we're kind of holding it in. Trust me, if we get through on Thursday, we're bringing hell on you. So be
Okay,
ready.
okay.
Okay, so to the game more specifically now. So what did you think of the game? What did you think of the game? Like your overall appraisal of the quality of the game itself. What did you
I
think?
think first I want to give credit to Arsenal and you guys. Y'all played a really, really well game. Tactically, y'all executed very well. Like you said, like I saw y'all were playing
Yeah.
with the 3-5-2. Y'all played very well.
Yeah.
I was just, as a Napoli fan, it was very frustrating because I think that's one of the worst performances I've seen us put in since I think Rafa
Oh, okay.
Benitez was coach.
In the first
In the
half, at
first half,
least,
yes,
not in the
I'll get
second
to
half.
the second half, but the first half was the worst I'd seen
Okay.
us play. I remember I was in class while I was watching it. But
Oh,
I remember I
okay.
was like just had my hat over my eyes pulling. I was like just had my head down. I'm like, are you kidding me? This was, I mean, like I said, it was the worst I'd seen us play in a long time, and it was just frustrating because this is the only competition we can possibly win. So I'm like, I was like,
Yeah.
what is going through their heads right now where they're down 2-0. You can't like, yeah, it was frustrating. It was frustrating. But props to Arsenal. Arsenal played a great game.
Yeah, sure. Especially in the first half of the game as well, we really did well. The coach set up with 3-5-2. And initially, you wouldn't have noticed this, but initially the reaction to the coach playing a 3-5-2 at Arsenal was always perceived to be defensive. But because of the shape that he played and the players he used in that game against the game he used against Napoli, so it was a really attacking setup. We had our wing backs trying to push you guys back and going behind your defenders on the side as well. And the fact that he brought Torreira into the team, I'm not sure how much of the fact that Torreira had been out for a long time, and the fact that Torreira obviously has experience playing Napoli since he came from the league there. How much of that played into the fact that the manager picked him for that game on that day? And he really, really did have a great effect on the team. His interceptions were great. His movement around the pitch was awesome, and he got the second goal as well. But so just before the game, so because I spoke to you as well, I was really interested in the Napoli perspective of the during the game. So I had like a Twitter feed. I put up a stream just to read what Napoli fans were saying about the game as well. And something came up a bit. Milik,
Yes.
I kept seeing a lot of fans complain that he didn't start the game, and I at the time, to be honest, I didn't understand why. And when he came on, the first thing I noticed that he was really tall, and I was worried. But from your perspective, did you expect him to start? And since he didn't start, why did you think there was a lot of conversation around him starting?
I think so I believe the main reason why Milik didn't start is he had started the previous three games and he played a majority of those games. So I think it was just Ancelotti
Okay.
just resting him. But a lot of the unrest on Napoli
Okay.
Twitter and from Napoli fans came from the fact that Milik and Mertens play really well together. They
Oh,
have great
okay.
chemistry between each other, and that's why I think Milik would have worked better up top with Mertens because one thing Napoli likes to do is we'll get those balls out wide into Callejon, and then we whip, and Mario Rui will come down the wing and whip those crosses in. But if you have Insigne and Mertens in the middle, you're not going to have a high chance of finishing those crosses. I mean, they're both like 5-4 and 5-5 respectively. So, but I think also a lot of the unrest was Insigne was first half. I don't think he pretty much the whole game he didn't really have that big of an impact. And ever since he came back from his time off of it from injury. And just the second half of the season, he hasn't been very consistent. So, I would have liked to see Milik start, but I understand why he didn't because he had played the three previous games for a majority of each game. So, but that's where a lot of the unrest came from was just that Milik brought in earlier would have been able to add a different kind of flair and he would have worked better up top with Mertens.
Oh, okay, great. I just Googled Napoli top scorers now, and I can see that he's your top scorer for the season as well. He scored 17 goals, right?
Yes.
And Dries Mertens has 11, and Insigne has 9. So I can completely relate to the fact why him starting that day would have been a better option for your team. Do you expect him to start at Naples?
I do expect him to
I
start.
hope so. I hope he doesn't.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't, because he scored over the weekend against Chievo Verona. So
Chievo,
yes, so
yeah.
I'll be surprised if he doesn't start. So we'll see.
Okay. Hopefully we can contain him in that game as well. So just to a more tactical approach, look at the game, especially in the first half from our perspective. You would notice that if you're watching the game, that we went to the 3-5-2, obviously, and then all through that game, what was our key strength actually for me in the first half was the fact that we had Mitnanaus and Kolasinac on the wing, and the number of times they went behind your fullbacks was amazing. Like every time they had the ball, Kolasinac was putting in crosses. Naus was always going behind, and that created a lot of space. You're pulling players apart, and then you see it created a space in the middle for Ozil to do a lot of work. It was one of the best games that Ozil has played this season as well. And it came out of the fact that we were doing a lot of work behind your fullbacks. Just to ask, is that like a system that Napoli doesn't get to face a lot in the Serie A, because your players couldn't seem to adjust to it until the second half?
I think the main issue with that, one thing I noticed throughout the game was that we were very spread out. The what y'all did
Okay, yeah.
because like you said, y'all were able to utilize your fullbacks and get behind like Maitland-Niles and so on and so forth. But us
Yeah.
being spread out, that allowed you guys to play back into the middle. Then it was kind of a scramble to get back to the middle, which would in turn open up the wings again. If like if you're following me. But
I can hear you.
it's I mean, in Italy you don't see it. I mean, you used to see it a lot, like within Antonio Conte, Juventus, but recently I haven't noticed too many teams doing it. And I just think it was a lack of, I think tactically, Emery just got it right against us that day. And like I said, we were very spread out. There was no sort of structure formation in our midfield. So I think that's why we struggled so much against you guys.
Yeah, sure. But okay, so in the second half, obviously we got the goals that we got, and the Ramsey goal was really, really lovely as well. In the second half, you became a lot better and started to get behind us a lot. And that's something I thought that I think Ancelotti reacted to very well, because you see our fullbacks, they're really great players when they go forward. Kolasinac, I don't think personally, I don't think he'd be listed as a defender on Arsenal's website. He hates to defend, and then he hates to defend, and Mitnanaus is sort of like a midfielder come winger who's just there because Bellerin isn't playing, so defending isn't their great strength. And in the second half, you would see that you became better immediately. You started going behind both of them. So, what do you think, particularly? That's what I saw from my perspective. You became courageous enough to go behind us the way we went behind you in the first half, and chances started to happen. What do you think was Carlo Ancelotti's thinking in the second half that made it very worrying for Arsenal?
I think I know I saw comments from Ancelotti after the game, and he said the first half they kind of played scared and didn't have a lot of confidence. So I think at halftime he kind of just, from what I think happened, is he went there and talked to them and made sure to like, hey, like as a team, we're a great team, just don't be afraid to attack and go forward. And one thing that I saw that kept was able to get us past your fullbacks and past your defense was the ball from Koulibaly over to Callejon or to Zielinski on the other wing. So I think playing that, if we had started playing that ball earlier, just like, because our passing that game was terrible. It was the worst I'd seen us pass in so long. But I think just there was a mentality switch, and unfortunately we weren't able to, well, fortunately for y'all, but unfortunate for us, we weren't able to get the away goal. So but I think Ancelotti just made sure to instill a little bit more confidence in the team, and just they saw what started working more, and they began to kind of dig at those insecurities in the Arsenal defense.
Something else I really noticed as well is your game became a lot better when I'm not sure I'm going to get his name right, but Unes, there's a
Unas,
guy in your
yes.
team, Unas, exactly. Immediately he came on and he started playing with I think he came on after Milik. I think he came on after Milik. He was the best player for me on the night for Napoli. From the perspective, mainly he came on. He became a very direct, and I think he got two shots on target in like 5 minutes, and that was when most of the pressure started coming against Arsenal, and I think if he and Milik start the game against us in Naples, we will be in a lot of trouble. Do you think there's any chance that he would play, like particularly Unes?
I think Unes will play depending on how the game goes, but I don't think he'll start. Unes is a player where he's young, he's very flashy, and that's kind of what Napoli needs now. We've kind of lacked that kind of player who want to go at players and take them on and do a bunch of skill moves. But he's very young, I'm and sick. I think. Yeah. So he's very indecisive.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't really, his decision making isn't quite there yet. So that's why you still don't see him as much as the other rotation players. So I don't think he'll start, but I think if the game goes well, you'll see him come on the pitch because, like you said, when he came on, he created a lot of chances for us. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to finish any of them, but he came on and he was one of the few players that looked like they wanted to win the game.
Okay, sure. I hope he doesn't, because I was really worried about him when he came on. Just to speak about we going away, we have a terrible away record, and it's not something that we're really proud of at all.
Thankfully,
yeah. So I just Googled Napoli's away record, and I see you guys are pretty. You're playing the same team home and away from home. So I'm looking at your league form. You've played 16 games home and away. At home, you've won 11. Away, you've won 9. I wish we could get 9 wins away from home. You've drawn 4 at home, and then you've drawn 3 away from home, and you've lost just 5 games, even though more of them are away from home. But you're pretty a solid team away from home as well, and you're just good at home. So, what do you think is the major difference between? Do you think there's a major difference between Napoli playing at home and away? And since we're coming to Naples, how much of an effect do you think being in your stadium will have with respect to the game and how you play?
So yeah, Napoli. Thankfully, we're not really a side who struggles away or has just like differing home record and an away record.
Okay.
So I think. But definitely we're a stronger side at the San Paolo. I think being able to have and the confidence we got from that and the confidence we got from the Chievo Verona win is very important going to the game since we're playing at home. And like you said, Arsenal, you guys' away record is terrible.
Yeah.
So so I think it's going to play a big factor.
Yeah.
But – yeah, I think us playing at home gives us an advantage. I'm still kind of worried about our chances going through. But just at home, the environment that the fans created, you could see whenever there's a lot of fans, whenever it's a sold out crowd, like for example, you could go back to our Champions League round of 16 tie with Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I think there was something like 60,000-70,000 fans at that game, and we ended up going 1-0 up on them. And you just the environment, like there have been seismographs that have recorded like little tremors due to the screams that come from the San Paolo. So I think it's going to be a great environment. I think it's going to be a great game. So hopefully us being at home will be able to give us that edge over y'all.
Great. I'm sure. Like I've always wanted to ask this question. Like, what does it mean to be an ultra? Because it's not a term I hear being used a lot in England. So you have like this, it's a Napoli ultras. What does it mean to be one?
I think being an ultra is just taking it to that next level, getting the tattoos on your body, you know, lighting the flares, holding the tifos, just expecting the most out of your team in every situation, every game. So I think it's fan culture. I think in Italy and in England are very different because I saw some tweets making fun of the environment at the Emirates. It was like they would cheer for 5 minutes and then it'd be the same chant come on Arsenal for like the whole game. And that was it. So
we're sort of like the library. That's what they call the Emirates.
Yeah. So, and it's even worse with City at the empty hat.
City is terrible.
So I think in Italy it's just different. I think being an ultra is just taking things to the next level and just showing all this love that you have and all this passion that you have for the team. And if I could, it'd be great to my dream. I've never been to the San Paolo because it's expensive to get over to Italy. So, but I would love to be in the Curva with all of them. So I think it'd be great. But being an ultra is just taking things to the next level.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be. Just before I let you go, just one more question. So you were very confident going into the game
yeah.
earlier, and you gave famously gave Napoli.
Oh my goodness. I look like a joke now.
You famously gave Napoli a 75-80% chance of going through. We're two goals mm-hmm. up now, and we're going to Naples. What percentage would you put to your team going through?
Gosh, man, that made me look like a joke. I didn't think my team would end up playing. I didn't think they'd play the worst first half that I'd ever seen in my entire life. But okay. I think now, gosh, I would probably say being at home helps us, and we've built some confidence going forward. And Arsenal's away record gives me some hope and confidence. So I think, man,
I just love the fact that you're doubting. You are so confident.
I'm not. I don't doubt my team because okay. I know that. Like I said, like. In the second half, we started playing better, and we played like it was a game. I'm confident in my team that they can, you know, turn this around. Hopefully, they don't let me down again. But right now, I would say I would give us like a 40-50% chance of going through. I think will happen.
Okay.
I think we end up going up 2-0, and then the game goes to extra time, and then in extra time, anything could happen.
I'm actually going for you guys winning 2-1. And we
you think 2-1? Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah. As well. I could see that happening.
I think we're going to score, but I'm sure you're going to score as well. So
yeah, I think right now I would say mainly around 40%, 50%. So it could go either way. So hopefully
I could leave you there. Hello.
Yeah.
I said I could leave with that. Really.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, 70. I was really confident going in, but they let me down. I'm sure you guys had a laugh about it in your group chats.
Yeah, sure, 100%. We're just being nice. We're holding it in before. Like, when we want to qualify, we're coming for you.
Don't worry. Hey, man, I'll be humble in defeat if it happens, and if we do end up, if we do upset y'all, I'll be kind to you as well. So don't worry.
I'm deleting my account. Okay. It was nice talking to you again. It's very nice talking to you. Like from a sporting perspective, I wish you the best. But from a pure fan perspective, I hope nothing but a loss for your team on the day. So, but I really do appreciate the fact that you've come on again to talk about it, and I really respect the fact that you did that. So, thank you very much. It was really, really nice. Part of this whole experience has been better just talking to you and then listening to a Napoli perspective to this. I really appreciate it.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for having me. And like I said, same to you guys. I'm not going to clown on you too much, but I appreciate you guys bringing me on. This is kind of like my first experience in podcasting. So it was a lot of fun, and it was great to get you guys' perspective as well. Yeah. So thank you.
Great stuff. Have a good evening.
You do the same.
Yeah, have a good evening today. No way. You're not having a good evening on Thursday. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye.
Have a good one.
Yeah, bye.
Take it easy.
Thanks.
Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountains, we want away from home.